ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सर्वभूतस्थमात्मानम् सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि इच्छते योगयुक्तात्मा सर्वप्रथमदर्शनः। Translation number 20.
So yogi observes me in all beings and also sees everything in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same supreme Lord, everywhere.
So here is talking about the vision of a perfect yogi. Sloka number 29 to 30, these two slokas 29 and 30 are talking about the vision of a perfect yogi. So how should one see? What kind of vision one should have? Although everyone has eyes to see, still when we talk of actual vision, you remember last time I was telling you about darshan? What is the meaning of the word darshan? Darshan means philosophy, isn't it? But why the word darshan is used for philosophy? And then you learn to see the world. How to see it, right? Correct? You learn to see the world in a particular way after having learned the philosophy. So somebody gives you a red color spectacles, then everything looks red for you. Somebody gives blue, everything looks blue like that. So when you learn something, then you know how to see through it, you know, like that. Just like any one of us, if we are saying sumo or a car, and our automobile engineer, he is seeing the same car. Is it all the same? Certainly not. When he sees it differently. What is the difference? Who can say? Yes. Yes. He sees superficially. Because as soon as he sits in the vehicle, when he rides it from here to there, from 30 feet, he can immediately tell you what is the condition of the vehicle. Isn't it? Huh? But the sound it makes in the engine and everything. Isn't it? But we may not be able to know, although we are also seeing with the eye. So a yogi, when we talk of a vision of a yogi, it is not the ordinary vision, it's a very special vision. It is not even intellectual adjustment. Mm-hmm. We may understand many things intellectually and we may be satisfied. Mm-hmm. But all of us know we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. Everyone knows. But when yogi comes to this stage, this is his vision. Sarva bhutastam atmanam. Sarva bhutani cha atmanam. A similar definition is given in the 11th canto when there is definition of different levels of adhikari is given there. Kanishta adhikari, Madhyam adhikari and Uttam adhikari. So, in the Uttam adhikari definition it is mentioned that sarva bhuteshu yasparshye bhagavat bhavam atmanah. It is said, in every living entity he is in sarva bhuteshu yasparshye. In every living entity he is seeing the bhagavat bhavam, love for God. He is able to see as your devotee. And he also sees that every living entity depends on God. He is not independent. So one is able to see in that way. So he is able to see that every living being is dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is seated in the heart of every living being. One who has the vision to see like that is called as a Savai Bhagavat Uttama. He is called as a Uttama Bhagavat. So here, we are talking of Jnana Yogi or Ashtanga Yogi, who is performing his meditation, and in his mature stage of meditation, he is seeing like this. He is able to see that all the living entities, they are carrying Krishna in their hearts, in the form of Paramatma. He is able to see. So we may be wondering, what is the advantage of seeing everyone carrying Paramatma in their hearts? What is so special about it? There are many, many things special. Prabhupada writes in the purport, we can try to understand. The perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a brahmana. So Lord is present even in a dog's body and in a brahmana's body. Now we can try to recollect one of the verses we read in the first chapter. I think 26th verse, I think, is it? Vidyavaniya sampanni brahmane gadihattani shinita vashapatrasa pandita samadarshana. Isn't it? So there also we learnt about a similar vision of one who sees. That was for, meant for a nishkama karma yogi. So when one is a nishkama karma yogi and becomes gradually purified, in the ultimate stage, that was his vision. That he sees a brahmana, a cow, a dog eater, an elephant, everyone alike. How does he see it? Because he is seeing the Paramatma seated in the heart. So the same vision is available to the Dhyani Yogi also. He also sees the same vision. He is seeing that Lord is seated in the heart of every living being. And most importantly, as Prabhupada writes here, although the Lord is seated in the heart of every living being, he is not materially affected. That's very important. We are also seated in the heart, and Lord is also seated, exactly like two birds sitting in a tree. As explained in the Kathopanishad, two birds are sitting in the branch of a tree. Similarly, Atma and Paramatma are sitting in this body. But we, although as pure souls, we are Satchidananda, we are not accepting this body out of sweet will. We are forced to accept this body. Whereas Lord is coming out of his sweet will and coming and residing in our heart. So this point is a very important point, because in India, many people have a misconception. They say Atma so Paramatma, they say. You heard this statement?
Yes.
In India, very common. Atma and Paramatma are the same. And it's not mentioned anywhere, Atma so Paramatma. It is the concocted sloka of their own. Very easy to concoct such simple sloka. So they say Paramatma and Atma are the same. So they say, let us feed the dog, let us feed the cow, let us feed cats, or let us feed the poor people living in the slums. Why? Because they are Daridra Narayan, according to them. There are many missions and institutions in India who say that we perform this Daridra Narayan Seva. So they claim it to be Seva, and they call those people as Daridra Narayan. And once I talked to one such person, what is his understanding? So they were saying, in the heart of this body, this person, there is Paramatma situated. I said, yes, it is true. And he said, the Paramatma Jivatma, they are saying. So now, because he is sad in this body, he is suffering in this body. So we are feeding him food. So he doesn't have any food. So Prabhupada used to very strongly condemn this bogus philosophy. So whenever somebody would say Daridra Narayan Seva, Prabhupada would ask him, who is Daridra? You are Daridra. Narayan never becomes Daridra. Because Narayan is called as Lakshmipati, isn't it? He is always his God as Lakshmi. And everyone in this world is begging for money from Lakshmiji. And the Lakshmi is actually serving all the time. In this material world, Lakshmi is called as Chanchara. She is always moving from one place to another place. She never remains in one person's pocket, always. If it were so, people would be so happy. She keeps jumping from one pocket to another pocket, isn't it? But in Vaikuntha, Lakshmiji is always at the feet of Lord Narayan. Also, Lord Narayan never demands her, be at my feet and serve me. Voluntarily, very willingly, she comes forward to serve Lord Narayan. So Srila Prabhupada used to say, but I went with 40 rupees to America and I came back with 40 crore rupees. So how is it? Because when you worship Vishnu or Krishna or Narayan, the Lakshmi immediately follows. She is always with Narayan, like that. So Lord is always called as Lakshmipati, but these people are calling him as Daridra Narayan. It's very, very offensive to call like that. If you ever come across these people, you should use them proper explanation. Unfortunately, in India, there are a lot of misconceptions like that. You have heard of the term Harijan? So this Harijan name was given by Gandhi to one particular class of people who were ignored by the society. So he told them they are not actually Harijan. Harijan means those are devotees of Lord Hari. It's a very special prerogative to be a Harijan. But today if I call all of us as Harijan, you will all look at me up and down. Harijan means immediately a picture comes to your mind. Somebody who is low class, good for nothing, and no talents, and you know, downtrodden, you know, it starts like that comes to your mind. So they have simply rubber stamped their group of people as Harijan. As you know, you must have heard of Subramanya Bharati. He was a great poet and a revolutionary reformer. So he said, why? Only Brahmana should wear the sacred dress. I will give sacred dress to a person living in the slum. He caught hold of some people from the slum and those who are living a dirty life and abominable lies. He cut all of them and put paper thread on their body, and for many of them, not just one or two. And he said, now I have done a revolution. I have made so many people into Brahmanas. Unfortunately, because people never refer to scriptures, they don't know actually what a Brahmana is. It's not possible to make somebody a Brahmana unless he has the quality. So according to Vaishnava literature, Vaishnava devotee is called as a Chintamani. So coming in contact with Chintamani, a Chintamani can make another Chintamani. A touchstone can make so many touchstones. A touchstone can make everything into gold. Similarly, if one comes across a great Vaishnava devotee and is transformed in heart, and then he achieves the quality of a Vaishnava, then he is a Brahmana. Otherwise, simply, if you get somebody from the street and put cigarette thread, tomorrow he will not do Gayatri, and he will not have Shama, Dhamma, Tapas, or Samatha quality. How can you call him a Brahmana? Or how can you call all these people Harijan? In fact, they are not even feeling grateful for being called so. Do you think they are very grateful for being called as Harijan, devotees of God? They don't even know who is Hari. He asked them, they have no understanding of Hari. They are called as Harijan like that. So in the same way, people talk of Garudan Narayan. In fact, many innocent people talk of Garudan Narayan in India. They don't know actually. And you have to tell them that you are calling Narayan as Daridra, you understand you will go to hell, you should tell them. You are calling that Narayan as Daridra. So you will go to hell by using this word. So here Prabhupada says, the perfect yogi knows that the Lord is eternally transcendental and is not materially affected by his presence in either a dog or a Brahmana. He may be in a dog's body, but not doesn't become a dog. In the same way, he can be in the Brahmana's body. In either case, he remains transcendental. He remains unaffected. In any body, he can be in the body of a worm, but the head of Jivatma. He can be in any body, but the Lord is never affected. A Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both the believer and the non-believer. Now recollect the sloka, Sukhan Mitra Yudhasina Madhyastha Desha Bandhushu. Remember? Sadhushya Pita Papesha Samabuddhi Vishishyate. So what was the meaning of the verse? Somebody can tell in simple words? Loudly.
One is said to be further advanced. Yogi is said to be further advanced. When we look at producers, yoginis, celebrities, with equal mind, we look at
stuff. Yes. When one has equal vision to see a friend, an enemy, and one who is indifferent, he looks everyone equally. Similarly, somebody may be a non-believer. Still, when devotee gets this vision, how does he see him? He sees that even in his heart there is Lord residing. This is the reason why the person does not become envious of anybody. Like when Jesus was on the cross, one man was criticizing him, one man was glorifying him. Isn't it? So Jesus was telling, my dear Lord, this person is speaking so many offenses against you, for he knows not what he speaks. Please forgive him, he prayed. Because Jesus thought that in his heart the Paramatma is residing, Lord is residing. So that's why Jesus made the statement, hate not the sinner, hate the sin. Don't hate the sinner, hate the sin. In the same way, when you see Paramatma in one's heart, you can never be angry towards them. It's not possible. Because as soon as you see the Lord, one becomes very, very careful. You can see when a spiritual master comes inside this room, immediately you become alert, isn't it? You sit there. Then when you don't even know that he is going to come today, you may be just laughing, isn't it? You may be lying in a chair, or you may be littering papers all around. But when you know that he is going to come, as soon as he comes, immediately you become alert, and then you see how things are arranged, everything, isn't it? You become alarmed that things are not in proper order. So in the same way, when one gets the vision, one cannot cause any harm to any living entity. As soon as you begin to see the Lord in the heart of every living being, like that. Why? Because you are after all working for the pleasure of the Lord. That is the goal of your life. What does a Jnanayogi want to do? He wants to see the Lord face to face. And he knows that Lord is supreme, ultimatum, there is nothing beyond. And my goal of my life is to please him. So he cannot cause any harm to anybody. That's like, if you see, sometimes you go to a clothes shop. The man there is ready to show as many sarees as he wants, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometimes women go to the shops and they see at least 50 to 100, and finally they may reject all of them. They may say, I didn't like any of them. And still you see that the person is happily smiling and showing, you have to see this, what about this color, what about that color, you know, he shows so many things to you. such a place. And then even when you say, I didn't like any of them, at least for today I am not going to choose anyone. He doesn't even scold you back. Does he scold you? Does he give any bad words to you? No. Why? Because he is not trying to please you, he is trying to please the boss. Because he knows, boss is sitting and he is watching me and I have to please him. And whatever is required to please the boss, I will do. I am simply like a dancing toy in his hands. And I am ready to dance whatever pleases my boss. So one who knows I am das, he only can please the boss. Isn't it? Isn't it? So we have to know that I am surrendered devotee. And Lord is supreme. He is my master. Then, for him, for his pleasure, he is ready to undergo any type of difficulty. So, yeah, this believer may give trouble. A non-believer may give trouble. So, does that make the yogi angry? Definitely not. But Jaya Mare, what did they do to Nityananda Prabhu? Madhava was throwing a pot on his forehead and it was bleeding. But how did Nityananda Prabhu react for that? How did Haridas Thakur react when he was beaten up in so many marketplaces? They cannot react, they cannot do tit for tat. It is not possible for devotees. You know, tit for tat means if you get one blow, you want to give it back. They don't have that mentality. So whether a person is a believer or a non-believer, a Krishna conscious person can see Krishna in the heart of both of them. So that is also the advantage of this vision. As a mother is neutral to all different kinds of children, the Supreme Father is also. Consequently, the super soul is always in every living being. So Lord is there in everyone's heart. He doesn't say he is an envious soul, so I will not reside in his heart. He doesn't say. He is a good soul, so I will reside in his heart. It's not like that. Lord is residing in everyone's heart. And you go to anybody, he will accompany you. Any lowly body you take, Lord will keep on accompanying you, escorting you in the material world. So in this way, the yogi, what is the purpose of saying that? The God is escorting you. Only then you can understand he is your true friend. Suvidam Sarva Bhutana. So in this way, the devotee is saying, not only that, he is saying, outwardly also, every living being is situated in the energy of the Lord. Let us try to understand this. Sarva Bhutasam Atmana. Sarva Bhutana is Atmani. So very, very deep purpose is this. Sarva Bhutasam Atmana. Sarva Bhutana is Atmani. How every living entity is situated in Krishna, and how Krishna is seated in the heart of every living being is explained in the 9th chapter. Krishna explains that I pervade the entire universe in my unmanifested form, he says. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. Jagadavyakta murtina. He says murti means form. Avyakta murti means hidden form. It's hidden, it's not perceivable. Why? Because it is said with the blind senses we cannot perceive the spiritual reality. So Lord says, Maya Tatamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtina. I am present in every part of the universe, but I am in an unmanifested form, easily not manifested people. So Arjuna asked a question in the previous chapter, 9th chapter, that Kesh Kesh Sabhavishu, Sintyoti Bhagavan Maya. How can I, my dear Krishna, please tell me. In the previous line he says, what is the beginning of it was? Kadam vidyamaham yogins tam sada parichintayam. He said, Kadam vidyamaham yogins tam sada parichintayam. That the word yogi is very appropriate when Arjuna uses it. Because Krishna is the controller of yogamaya. So he can put a curtain and make people not see him. Or he can remove the curtain and allow people to see him. As Kunti Maharani was telling, Maya Javanitakshanam Ajnabhakshajam Ajayam. Some people who are non-believers of Krishna, Krishna puts a person, Yoga Maya Samabhataya, Mudoyam Navijanati. So Krishna puts a person and does not allow them to see. On the other hand, for devotees, Krishna reveals himself to them. So he is asking, please tell me Krishna, how can one always think of you? Always. So Arjuna was asking this question not for a devotee. Do you know why? Because devotee sees Krishna with eyes of love, spontaneously. So devotee need not learn any separate process to see Krishna. Because a devotee is constantly seeing Krishna 24 hours a day. As it is explained, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. So he rises up things with the salve of love. So a devotee has spontaneous attraction for Krishna and he sees Krishna everywhere. See, there is a difference between seeing Krishna directly and seeing Krishna in his energy. It's not all the same. There is a difference between the two. So devotees see Krishna directly, spontaneously, with enormous love in their heart. Whereas here when Arjuna is asking the question, Keshi Keshi Bhaveshu Chintyasi Bhagavan Maya. So he is asking, how can one see Krishna using the physical things of the world? That Asti Narandar. That is not a very high platform. Seeing Krishna through his energy. That is not as good as seeing Krishna directly. So seeing Krishna through the things of the world, he is seeing with knowledge. And seeing with knowledge is superior, and seeing with love is superior. Which is seeing with love. So that is for a pure devotee. A pure devotee sees Krishna with pure love in his eyes. He can see Krishna everywhere. Whereas one level down below, he is seeing Krishna through his energies. So for the benefit of the common people, Arjuna asks this question. Keshi Keshi Bhaveshu Chintyasi Bhagavan Maya. So then Krishna told him, amongst the animals, I am the lion. Amongst the mantras, I am Gayatri. Amongst the shabdas, I am Omkar. Among the Vedas, I am Samaveda. Like that. 82 examples Krishna gave. So, through all these things, Krishna explained, and at last Krishna made a statement that, my dear Arjuna, it is useless to make an endeavor to explain everything about me. In fact, what I have told you is only a small fragment of the knowledge. Ekam kena sito jagat, he said. My dear Arjuna, all these things are achieved by me, they are only simply a spark of my splendor. And I am actually maintaining this entire universe with a small fragment of myself, he said. Ekamshena Sito Jagat, he said. Ekamshena, one small fragment of myself. And he concluded the chapter. But then Arjuna wanted to know, please tell me how, with one fragment of yourself, with one fragment of yourself, how are you pervading this entire universe? That is the question he asked at the beginning of the 11th chapter, for which Krishna gave the universal song, Viratrupa. Explanation very vividly. So, understanding Viratrupa is not a very great thing. Do you know why? Because when Krishna explains about Viratrupa, how he is pervading the entire universe as Viratrupa, or in every atom he is situated as Paramatma, both of them are actually a fragment of Krishna only. Because in the previous chapter, 10th chapter, Krishna says, with a fragment of myself, I pervade this entire universe. Lord, how he is present in every part of the universe has to be very carefully understood. There is a simultaneous connectedness and non-connectedness that God exhibits with the material world. In fact, if you see, Krishna is not directly connected to this material world. How is he connected? Through his energies. He is taking care of the entire world with his energies. He is expanding as three Vishnus, and the three Vishnus are doing all the jobs. But Paramatma is present in every atom, so he is omniscient. So Krishna knows everything going on in every part of the universe. So it's omniscient. Similarly, Mahavishnu, he is omnipotent. From him, all the universes are emanating, isn't it? So in this way, with Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Shivadaksha Vishnu, Krishna is accomplishing everything. Although the material world is within Krishna, it is supported by Krishna, and it is controlled by Krishna, still Krishna is not directly in touch with the material world. So how it is beautifully explained by Krishna himself with example. Padakasha Sikha Nityam Vayu Sarvatra Govaha Mahan. He is telling, it is like the wind that is situated in the Akash. The Akash or the sky can be compared to a huge bowl that is kept upside down. There is a bowl kept upside down. So within this bowl, there is air, Vayu, moving inside. So the air still has independence, although it is within the Akash. The air doesn't lose independence. So the movement of the air is not restricted, only the area of movement of the air is restricted. You understand the point? In the same way, although the living entity is dependent on Krishna, in one sense, he is still given independence. Can you ever imagine how somebody who is dependent on another person is still having independence? So this is the asymptote of Veda. simultaneously God is giving dependence and independence. How it is, he is explaining with this example. All of you understand this example? Like if you take the sky, within this air is there. Air can move anywhere, in east, west, north, south, in all directions it can move. But it is limited by the circumference of the sky, by the sky, isn't it? But within that it has the ability to move. Similarly, Krishna says, the living entity is supported by me, it is true. It is dependent on me, but still I have given it independence to move. So when we say, sarva bhutastam atmanam, sarva bhutani cha atmani. The second part of it, sarva bhutani cha atmani. All the living entities are in me, in one sense. What it means? They are actually dependent on Krishna. But Krishna says, natamastani bhutani pasyame yogamaisharam, bhuta brahmati bhutastha, namatma bhuta bhavana. And he says, although in the first chapter and second chapter they apparently contradict each other. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina mattani sarva bhutani nataham teshi avastitaha. But nataham teshi avastitaha, I am not in them, he says. Although they are all in me, I am not in them. How do you understand it? When Krishna says they are all in me, that means they are dependent on me as first of Sangana thread. You remember that example? First of Sangana thread. So they all are dependent on Krishna for their very sustenance and for their very existence. And you may say, okay, that means thread is bound. Thread is, you know, taking care of all the pearls. That means thread is also inside. And Krishna says, Nakaham Keshavasuda. I am not in them. Why? I am completely aloof. I am in the spiritual side. And I am taking care of the ongoing activities of the material world through my energies, namely the Purusha Avataras. Vishnu Tattva. They are taking care of everything in the material world. So, Krishna is seated in every one of our hearts, not as himself, but as Paramatma. It is his expansion. That is his expansion. So, the energies of the Lord are like the government, Prime Minister and government. In the same way, like the Prime Minister has so many agents through whom he is controlling the entire country. In that way, Lord is also taking care of the ongoing activities of the universe very easily through his energy. He is never bound. So one should be able to have this vision. One should be able to play this sea like that. So you understand this point? Sarva bhutastam atmanam. All the bhuta, all the living entities are in me. Sarva bhutani cha atmani. And I am in the heart of every living being. Ikshate means to see. One has to have this vision. One should be able to see. So there are many levels of understanding of Krishna. The lowest level is there is ekatvena, pritatvena, bahudha visato mukha. Ekatvena means to think that I am one with Krishna, one with God. I will merge into Brahman. That is the lowest understanding, Brahman understanding. And pritatvena bahudha means to see that there are different demigods. All the demigods are equal, polytheism as we say. That is the second, that is higher than ekatvena. And then he says visato mukha. So think of the visharupa to be the topmost. That is the third level of vision, third higher vision. At least they accept the Vishwarupa. When they say Rupa, they accept the form. They come to say they are accepting the form. But even before accepting the Vishwarupa, Krishna is telling how to see him, that among the animals, I am the lion, he says. So one can appreciate the prowess of the lion and understand how great must be God. And one can see the Himalayas and understand how great must be God. And one can see the sunshine and see his greatness. So it's a very, very lot of understanding. After seeing different energies of the Lord, the 82 examples are given. After that one comes to the point of accepting the Vishwa Virat Purusha, Virat form. And the Virat form is explained how the Chandra, Surya, they are the Netra of the Lord, they are the eyes of the Lord, and Adala Vidalastala, they are the lower parts of his body. So in this the different parts of the body of Virat are explained, Virat Rup. The mountains are like his bones, trees are like the hair in his body. The rivers are like his veins. So one takes the global view of the entire universe and sees the Virat Purusha, which is also considered a very low level understanding. That is at least the third level, third highest, third and up. So above the Virat Purusha is to understand the Paramatma in the heart of everyone. So yogi is not only able to see the Paramatma in everyone's heart, at one point of time he sees Lord Paramatma face to face like Dhruva Maharaja. And then higher than Paramatma is Bhagavan understanding, seeing Krishna with full opulences. Because Paramatma, as you see, Krishna says, when he is in the Paramatma, Nane Deshosi na priya. No one is dear to me? Nobody. Nobody. I don't envy anyone. I am not favorable to anyone. Nane dheshasi na priya. Nobody, I don't have desha towards anyone. I don't have priya towards anyone. I am equipoised. I am neutral. That is Paramatma. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is one step higher. Krishna is called as a Bhakta Vatsala. When I say Bhakta Vatsala means he is favorably disposed towards his devotee. So, Krishna means he reciprocates with his devotee, but Paramatma is neutral. See, the difference between the two is, Paramatma, you surrender one step and he will also give you that much result. It's like, what do you say? You have a fixed interest, isn't it? It's not compound interest. It doesn't multiply more. When you do one thing, he will also do only that much. When you take one step towards him, he will also take one step towards you. Like for example, you tell Paramatma, I want to meet a guru. Then you take it to a guru and he will leave there. That's all. After you have to say, now I want to know more knowledge from the guru. Then he will make you hear the lectures. And then you say, now I want to become more serious in spiritual life. I want to surrender more. Then he will help you in chanting and he will leave you there. So he doesn't help you beyond what you ask for. Understand? But Paramatma, being an expansion of Krishna himself, he is extremely shrewd. He knows your desires even before you know yourself. Like that. Like what Prabhupada says, sometimes you may say, why are all these things coming to me in my life? I never wanted them. My bad friends are coming and troubling me when I want to become a devotee. But then Paramatma is telling you, you only wanted their company so many years ago. You desired their company and I am just giving it to you. He just gives you. Like one boy was telling, that in his office, in computer office, he is surrounded by so many girls. He said, now I want to become a devotee. I don't want any temptation. But Krishna is putting me in such an atmosphere. Why is he not giving me a favorable atmosphere? I told him, you desire it. Because we don't know when we desire it. We may not remember some million lifetimes ago we desired something and Krishna just fulfills it. He will remember what all he wanted and he will fulfill it. So Paramatma is just waiting to fulfill all the desires that you desired in the past. So if there were any wrong desires, they all are in the seed form, in the heart, and it's fulfilling them. So what should you do? You should burn them out and fry them out so that those desires will not be fulfilled in the future. So Paramatma also equally disappears with you, only that much. Atma does the surrender. Because he is Namai Dvesha Sinapriya. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna, he will drag you, he will pull you and try to make you a devotee. Once you just go in front of him and tell him that I am your surrendered soul. Is it really? You meant it? Immediately he will take you very seriously. That is why the great spiritual teachers have made us chant the Shikshasakam every day. Ashvishyava padaratam pinashuma adarshanan marmahatam tarotuva.